Welcome to SBRE Capital Matters, the only show focused on the small balance real estate community, with your host, Matt Burke.
Hi there, and welcome to Capital Matters, the only show anywhere that focuses exclusively on small balance real estate. I'm Matt Burke. I'm the CEO of Fairway America, chief investment officer of several funds that we run, and been in the small balance real estate space for a long, long time. And these days, we have a platform designed to really try to provide help and guidance to both SBRE entrepreneurs, you know, those people out there in the trenches, originating and acquiring assets of one sort or another in the real estate space, and also the high net worth accredited and qualified purchaser investors that are the source of capitalization of those funds. And really the whole idea of Capital Matters and all the things we do is to build a community of SBRE participants for the benefit of both sides of the aisle. And so hopefully this show helps to do that. So one of the things we like to do is bring on guests each week that can come at it from a certain angle inside the small balance real estate space and provide some value to our listeners, whether that be investors or the entrepreneurs that originate the product. And either way, we try to come up with people that are actively involved in the space and can bring some insights and a certain angle to it that can really provide value to the listener. So today we have Charlie Ittner of the Darien Group out of Los Angeles. So we've done a bunch of work with Charlie here on and off over the last couple of years. And welcome, Charlie.
Thanks for having me on, Matt. It's always good to speak with you.
Yeah, likewise. And why don't you start by just telling us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll dive into some content here.
Yeah, sure. I'm originally from Connecticut, a small town called Darien there, which is maybe an hour outside of New York. I moved out to Southern California for university in 1999, went to Pomona College and studied English literature there. So I've been in L.A. and the area for about 18 years now. Worked for 8 years at Platinum Equity, which is a M&A firm, private equity firm out of L.A. Went to business school at UCLA and then went in-house at a real estate investment firm called BKM Capital Partners, where I was responsible for investor relations, and left there in early 2015 to found the company that I now run called Darien Group, named after the town that I grew up in. And there are a couple other allusions there to the name. And we're a branding and communications firm with a sole focus on the investment management space, specifically private equity and real estate, which are really my kind of areas of expertise and places I feel we can really add value.
Well, you learn something new every day, Charlie. I didn't know that the name of your company was from the town that you came from. So all the times I've talked to you, first time I picked up on that. So
yeah, it is. It was a working title that wound up sticking and sounded good, so we kind of went with it.
So why don't you give us a little more detail on kind of how you got involved in this industry? Did you kind of know you wanted to be involved specifically in the investment space and marketing in that space, or did you kind of fall into it out of school, or kind of how'd you get involved, and maybe give us a little bit of background and context on kind of your whole thinking on this portion of the business?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it really was more of a falling into it thing. I had done a little bit of marketing work in terms of internships and stuff when I was younger. And obviously, English literature to private equity is not maybe the most intuitive path that everyone takes. But I wound up with a sort of entry-level job at this firm called Platinum Equity right out of college, pretty much, I think about 6 months after graduating. And worked my way up there and got to know the CEO and founder pretty well pretty early. And a couple years into my time there, there was an opening for the head of the marketing department. And so the CEO took kind of a leap of faith with me being a bit young for the position, but let me go ahead and take that on, which was, you know, a good fit for me in terms of my sort of verbal and creative orientation, but was a lot of tough learning and a lot of experiential learning. What was great about it was I learned a couple big things there. One was real preparation for what I do now, which was I was effectively running a in-house marketing agency at this, you know, decent-sized leveraged buyout firm. And so all the responsibilities and the practices that go into running creative projects for an investment manager, that was kind of where I initially picked it up. I sometimes call that my first business school. You know, the second part of it was I learned so much from the boss that I had there in terms of his perspective on the marketing function. We ran a very robust program, you know, it would be considered robust today. 10 years ago, it was way ahead of its time, and it included a pretty substantial rebrand that we did because the brand hadn't been tended to in a while. And it included a really strategic repositioning as well. The company was not suffering for access to investor capital, but it was trying to take itself from its prior reputation as a legacy technology buyout firm. It wanted to be seen as more of a generalist that could compete with a Blackstone, compete with a KKR. So we ran a really heavy campaign targeting Wall Street, corporate America, and then international investment banks as well. That included video production, a new website at the time, and heavy mail and email campaigns. And through all that, it was really the company trying to position the marketing not toward where it was at the time, but toward where it wanted to go, toward the medium-term vision for the firm. That was a big thing that I've kind of taken with me, I think, my whole career since. And seeing marketing, seeing branding as a strategic tool to reach business goals for a company that maybe aren't exactly where the company is right now, but it's kind of where that next goal is going to. And, you know, we carry that through to what we do today, and if we can kind of help our clients reach a little bit further toward what they're trying to accomplish, then I think we've kind of done our job pretty well there.
And a lot of it, you know, I know in the small balance space is like it comes down to a matter of constraints of resources and capacity and things like that. I mean, how much of the experience that you had there in the rebranding and the targeting of Wall Street and some of the institutional people, which I'd say by and large in the small balance space is not a viable source of capital. How much of that do you think translates over into the smaller manager or syndicator when it comes to their capital raising and investor relations strategies?
Well, I think still a lot, actually, Matt, because I think what it's really about, it doesn't maybe depend as much on the specific profile of that next audience that you're going toward, but more as you translate your message from how it's been to all the people you already know to how you want it to be for the people who maybe don't know you as well yet. And I think that's something that a lot of the SBRE crowd is trying to do. You want to think about how do we shape the message a little bit differently as we approach this new audience. So whether it's the general kind of sprucing it up a little bit, speaking in slightly more professional language and terms, dressing up the formatting and the polish of it a little bit, that's a pretty common thing throughout, I think, both of the scenarios that we've described.
So these days on your practice, who is your primary target audience? I mean, what would be kind of an ideal client for you and various ways that you help them out?
Sure. So we really provide services to private equity and real estate clients of, I would say, any size, geography, strategy, target asset class, and maybe most importantly, stage of maturity. We've worked with a lot of startup funds or spin-outs of larger companies who are kind of just beginning their lifespan and their story and need help putting that together. And we've worked with much larger and older and more established companies that might be looking for specific things that we're able to do for them. So I think within the private equity and real estate realms, we like to think that we can offer value to any different client within that space.
So what kinds of things do you do for them? I mean, like, well, what specifically, what if somebody, a client engages you, what can they expect with respect to how you can help them out?
Sure. I think we try to always bring our capabilities to bear in whatever we're doing, which are going to be really two sides there, the kind of visual branding and aesthetic side, and then the strategy, messaging, copywriting side. What that winds up meaning in more concrete terms, the majority of our work is going to fall into helping our clients with their digital presence, and that's generally the website, but might also involve some email marketing and other tactics there. And then another bucket would be broadly capital raise preparation, which most frequently is going to include investor presentation work and possibly some PPM assistance, but could also include fund brochures, fact sheets, tear sheets, teaser brochures, and sometimes we get involved in some investor reporting type stuff too. You know, looking forward, we are kind of moving a little bit in how we message all this. We're adding video production capabilities, which we're very excited about, and we'll start really actively marketing that in about a month. We're getting a bit heavier on the digital side and incorporating more technical SEO capabilities, social media management, blog content development, and becoming, I think, a very highly specialized content provider to these two spaces, private equity and real estate, and kind of anything that would fall within that bucket. I think we have the internal resources and the access to creative talent and to copywriting talent to kind of execute on those deliverables.
Yeah, so one more question. We're going to go to a quick break, and then we'll get into some of the meat of it here in the second half. But, you know, Charlie, I'm an entrepreneur, as you are, and I know how challenging and difficult and but also rewarding it can be to kind of run your own gig. And I've been a member of Entrepreneurs Organization for many years. I'll give my plug to that organization. But what's it like for you as you – I know you're a couple of years into your entrepreneurial journey here. What's it been like to kind of leave the – security of working for some other firm and kind of going out on your own, not knowing exactly what you can do and all that, and just maybe share that with us for a minute or two.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, look, starting this company is the best professional decision that I've ever made, and that's for a few different reasons. One, it's allowed me to focus pretty uncompromisingly on my concept of kind of what I do well, where I think I can add value to other people's enterprises and organizations and other people's business goals, and what I think I can build sort of personally with my own organization. So that's all been great and has kind of worked very well for me from a personality or a mission, personal mission standpoint. And, you know, it's been an amazing ride for the first couple of years here, and I could never have expected it to go as well and be as well received as it has been. So that's been great. The two other things I'd say, one is that working with clients of such different stripes, you might say, different asset classes, cultures, different geographical locations, you learn so much spending some time with these people and getting to know them a little bit and getting to know what they do. And you learn subject matter expertise and you learn about just kind of more on a person-to-person level. You get to know people. The third thing that's been maybe the most rewarding part has been, seeing people develop within my organization. We're only 2.5 years old, and we've got a couple people who have been here for a year and a half or 2 years, and that's a great little corroboration point that makes me feel like we're kind of building something real and doing something right. And seeing the development of some of the people who work here has been tremendous. My head of creative was doing freelance design when we first started working together, and she's unbelievably talented and hardworking and capable not only of handling, you know, what we do for clients, but also kind of building the creative side of our business up and acting as a manager as well. And
that's awesome.
Just seeing that kind of happen for her and that relationship has just been unbelievably fulfilling and rewarding, and is something that, you know, you keep just looking forward to every week of the work year.
Yeah, that's great. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Charlie Ettner.
High net worth investors are increasingly demanding that alternative investment asset managers of all kinds, hedge fund, private equity, and real estate managers alike, provide them with access to reporting and information on par to the public markets. They want something that is easy and transparent. The innovative team at Fiducia Labs has developed such a response, the next generation of trust tools, the desired solution. Introducing Marco, the alternative investment platform. Marco has been specifically designed to streamline the entire investment process from start to finish and all points in between. An elegant, intuitive interface that is efficient, effective, and removes the barriers to adopt. It enables Marco to give you all your investors the edge to make investing and managing alts easy and transparent. To learn more about Marco, please visit www.getmarco.com. Marco, the alternative investment platform. The small balance real estate community is growing. Comprised of serious real estate entrepreneurs and savvy high net worth investors, the shared abundance mindset is a bond. SBREfunds.com is where the SBRE community gathers to grow their knowledge and their portfolios. If you are looking for SBRE investment opportunities, educational content across the spectrum of SBRE-focused topics, and an online resource exclusively servicing the flourishing SBRE community, then SBREfunds.com welcomes you.
Okay, welcome back. I'm here with Charlie Ettner of the Darien Group, and we're chatting a little bit about marketing for small balance real estate entrepreneurs. So, Charlie, I'm going to put you on the spot now. I know you deal with quite a number of small balance real estate entrepreneurs, and in fact, as you've said, you know, real estate and private equity is kind of your main client base. What would you say is the most common misconception or challenge that these people have around marketing and fundraising, and maybe some of the things that kind of hold them back a little bit?
Yeah, I think, Matt, the things that come to mind are things that I know you've covered in your book, and I'll probably do a less eloquent and detailed job of recapping that. But people, we've experienced people sometimes looking for a simple solution to this is a complex and arduous process, capital raising, and particularly raising capital toward a discretionary or blind pool fund. It's a competitive field in general. You are competing for the attention of people who have a lot of other things going on in their lives, and a lot of other people looking to get that same attention toward where these folks might be considering allocating their investable capital. So it's necessary to kind of do two things there, right? One is to convince people of the value of your investment model, and two is to build trust, the trust of the prospective investor toward you and your team and what you're trying to do. And that's just not, there's no easy way to do that ultimately. So I think there maybe is a misconception that moving from a successful deal-by-deal track record to a successful blind pool fund track record is going to be a logical and natural kind of stepping stone path. And my experience, and that's both, seeing it through the eyes of clients as I've worked here at Darien Group, and also having seen it myself helping to raise a first-time fund, it's just tough, and it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort, and there's no way around that, I don't think. I would say that given that, there's a lot of value to hiring the right professional services that can provide levels of preparedness and organization that might not be achievable simply relying upon resources that already exist within a given SBRE entrepreneur's company. So whether that's hiring a company like Fairway to handle fund formation and administration at a level of professionalism that's not there, or the case of bringing in some of what we do where appropriate to help get that message really clean and get the overall sort of perception of the offering that it's professional and it's at a level of people who really care about the details and have all their back office stuff in order. Some of these things I think can be really helpful and important. The common thread there is over-preparedness, right? That you'd be hard-pressed to find a professional situation where one constituent was over-prepared and the other constituent was unhappy that the one was over-prepared. I mean, I think everyone appreciates and feels good about a level of preparedness that feels appropriate to the situation. So
drilling down a little bit and just say where kind of the rubber meets the road, specifically, what kind of mistakes do you think entrepreneurs are making when it comes to marketing, and what can they do to improve it?
Yeah, on the marketing side, people tend to take whatever their pitch has been or however they've distilled that into their PPM or OM documents and just kind of stuff it into their next marketing format document. So the presentation winds up reading like you've just kind of pulled paragraphs out of a PPM and stuck them there in some sort of basic PowerPoint template and are then delivering that alongside the 45-minute pitch meeting that you've got with a given prospect. So we think that's a big mistake, that these presentation documents are so frequently not being constructed toward the purpose that they're going to be used, which really ought to be as a secondary augmentation to the speech that you're giving to a prospective investor. So we advocate a lot of trying to think with a more modern content delivery and content sort of audience reception model, where you think, can we go more visual with things? Can we pull some copy out of here and get everything kind of moving a little bit faster and working a little bit more how we know people's minds work? Modern studies on this show that impressions and the way that we receive information, it's so fast, it's so visual, and it's so important that those few opportunities are really maximized and taken full advantage of. And a PowerPoint just stuffed chock full of words per slide is in our opinion really, really strongly not the way to do that. So that's kind of an overview of how we approach those things.
Yes. So with that in mind, then what are some of the best practices or things that you think people can do better, and where would you coach or guide them if you were engaged in really trying to help them come up with a better overall approach to raising capital and marketing their investment?
I think working on getting the pitch into really digestible form is the first thing, and assuming that your prospects that you're approaching are seeing similar opportunities on a frequent basis. I know it's not going to be the case every time, but let's just kind of assume it for a second. Have you really highlighted your differentiators and brought those out nicely to where they are the first things that people are seeing, and that if you assume someone is not going to spend their entire undivided attention time getting through your website or the brochure that you hand them, or even the pitch meeting, are you using that first impression to get those most important points across so that they will remember you as the guy who is the best at handling, you know, multifamily in the Sun Belt or whatever the thing might be that your specific fund is set up to do? We believe a lot in imagery to help accomplish that, and the visualization of information can really help to push these things in ways that people will remember and will kind of hang some sort of a conceptual framework on in their minds. And then I think that buys more time and more mind share with the prospect later on down the road. And we're, of course, huge advocates, given what we do, for the value of really professionally conceived, designed, messaged, and laid out materials, whether digital or printed. I mean, websites these days are going to make, you know, thousands to tens of thousands of impressions on your behalf with people who don't yet know you or maybe deciding whether they want to know you. So the same way that you wouldn't walk into an investor meeting wearing disheveled or dirty or overly casual clothing because people would make negative inferences regarding your general level of preparedness and organization, we think that documents and websites and everything ought to be considered in the same way and treated with the same sort of seriousness and level of preparation that all these other things go toward. The last thing I'll say is that, you know, the use case for different pieces of material is really important. If the investor presentation is being used in the room with investors, then its content shouldn't be competing with you for their attention during your time with them. The more visual, the better there, as I've said before. Likewise, is the investor presentation being used as a send-ahead document to early-stage prospects to pique their interest? In that case, you've got one document serving two purposes, and it's probably not really serving either particularly well. So it's good to think about, if you need a send-ahead document, it should probably be something separate that is constructed to work without you in the room explaining what's inside of it, versus if there's a document that you are going to be in the room for, it should be formatted and constructed very differently.
Yeah, different tools all, you know, for different purposes, eh?
Sorry?
Different tools for different purposes, huh?
Precisely.
Yeah, so we're getting short on time here, Charlie, but one last question here. I'm everybody out there who listens to this show knows I'm a big fan of lifelong learning. So what is it you're reading or watching or listening to these days that you might recommend to people in the SBRE community to help them grow, learn, get better?
Yeah, I've just finished up a book that was recommended to me by an old colleague. It's called You Are the Message by Roger Ailes. Ailes, I won't speak to him, you know, on a personal merit basis. I know he's had some issues but this book is unbelievable in terms of for anyone who spends a lot of their work months or their work quarter kind of going in and doing any sort of pitching or any sort of communicating with people on a public relations or a sales basis. It's really, you'll see things in there that'll really click with you and make you reconsider or adjust, I would say, in positive ways how you handle those meetings. So that's one I would go to, and I've been watching a lot of Jordan Peterson lectures recently too. I just think he's a very interesting thinker and would advocate for kind of his combination of social sciences and evolutionary biology, and he's just really interesting to listen to.
All right. So, Charlie, how can people get a hold of you?
You can visit darriengroup.com for more information, D-A-R-I-E-N as in North, group.com, or you can call me at 213-404-0570, and I'm available to connect and talk about this stuff more.
Charlie, I appreciate you being on today. Thanks very much.
Appreciate you having me, Matt. Thank you.
All right. Well, you've been on SBRE Capital Matters with myself, Matt Burke, and you can find our show live each week on www.octalkradio.net. All shows afterwards will also be available on sbrefunds.com/radio. And if you have topics, questions, listeners, or rather guests or things that you'd like to see covered here, please email it to us at ask@fairwayamerica.com. So thanks, everyone, for joining me today. It's SBRE Capital Matters, the only show dedicated exclusively to small balance real estate. And again, the commitment we make is to try to bring ideas, resources to investors, high net worth investors, and entrepreneurs in the small balance real estate space. And remember, when it comes to small balance real estate, capital matters. See you next week.
You have been listening to SBRE Capital Matters, hosted by Matt Burke. To enjoy other episodes, please visit www.sbrefunds.com/radio. Nothing in this show is intended to be or should be accepted as legal, accounting, or investment advice. None of the Fairway America companies provide that kind of professional service to SBRE entrepreneurs or investors. Fairway America strongly encourages anyone offering or making SBRE investments to work with qualified attorneys, accountants, and investment advisors to help them navigate the many legal and similar issues that are not addressed here.